Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Taking a hard look at school security, the work administrators are doing today to try to ease parents' minds after a series of threats in Wake County.
The countdown to President Biden's State of the Union address is on. You're looking live at the U.S. Capitol, where we'll find out tonight how far the country has come in the 2 years since he took office.
It's a nice, clear morning. Beautiful live view here in Zebulon. But our temperatures are colder than they were yesterday morning. I'll show you where you can see some patchy frost.
And a violent road rage shooting caught on camera in Durham. What led up to the gunfire and the search now for the gunman? It is an amazing video you will want to see, and police need your help trying to track down a vehicle. I'm Jeff Hogan. Good to have you with us here on our Tuesday.
And I'm Renee Chu. Great to have this warm weather once again. We're going to see some nice temperatures later this afternoon. This morning, though, you'll need a coat. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center.
Our temperatures are noticeably colder than they were this time yesterday. Right now, we're taking a live look at Durham, and 35 is our temperature across the Triangle area. The wind is calm, so no wind chill to deal with. We have a number of towns in the 20s. 29 in Southern Pines and in South Hill. It's 28 in Roxboro. It's 31 in Goldsboro, Rocky Mount, and Wilson. And we just dropped 2 degrees right here in the Triangle, as well as in Fayetteville and Clinton. So by the time we get to 7 a.m., which is typically the coldest hour this time of year, we'll probably be down to freezing everywhere. This is a look at our temperature change, almost 10 to 15 degrees colder than it was this time yesterday. So that's significant. And there's definitely some frost out there in some places, even where temperatures are in the mid 30s. I ran across a little bit of light frost out there this morning. So just keep that in mind. It's a wintry feeling morning, even though our afternoon high are well above normal. We'll climb into the mid-50s at lunchtime, mid-60s for highs this afternoon. We continue our warming trend, and I'll show you how close we get to a record high later this week. Coming up, Brian.
601, I'm keeping tabs on a crash in Lee County just south of Sanford this morning. This is on U.S. 1 southbound right around Rocky Fork Church Road, almost to the Lee-Moore County line. The right lane of U.S. 1 southbound is blocked right there at that intersection. I'm not seeing any delays on sensors right now, but I'll watch it, let you know how that's looking. Pretty quiet around the Triangle at the moment. Maybe a little bit of a delay on 540 eastbound through the Lewisburg Road interchange, but overall our major routes are looking good, and we're not reporting any crashes right now anywhere in the Triangle.
Today, for the first time since online threats forced lockdowns at several Wake County schools, the school board will be talking about the safety issues that have families feeling uneasy. WRAL's Laura Levine has been following this story, and she is live at East Millbrook Magnet Middle School with the district's response now to these security concerns. Laura.
Jeff, good morning. East Millbrook Middle School here behind me is one of six schools that went on lockdown after being targeted by those social media threats. And those social media threats, as we know, have caused panic and really disruptive school days for many people involved. And that's what's really pushing Wake County school leaders now to focus more on solutions. The Wake County Public School System Board of Education will take this conversation up today at its scheduled board meeting. The school board was already set to get an update on its school safety assessment, but board chair Lindsay Mahaffey tells us they will take a deeper look at safety and security when it comes to addressing school threats. Some school leaders have also called on lawmakers to step in to strengthen laws that will hold people accountable.
It is concerning. So we're doing the work that we can as a school system. We are going to hear from representatives from BeSmart to talk about safe gun storage at our next board meeting. And I hope that families will tune in, because if you are a gun owner, or it's important that we make sure that our children do not get their hands on firearms for a multitude of reasons, and school safety being one of them.
This is a conversation that we will continue to follow throughout the day. That meeting begins at 3:30 this afternoon. Laura Levine, WRAL News. We're live in Raleigh.
A gunman involved in a road rage incident in Durham is on the run this morning. Investigators need help finding the person accused of shooting at another driver with bystanders nearby. You can see the interaction between the people at the Handy Hugo's off Highway 70 near Pleasant Drive. We spoke with a firearms expert who says the shooter used an AR pistol, a gun used in a military capacity. No one was hurt in the shooting. Investigators say they are looking for the driver of the white Audi.
This is a live look right now in Turkey. It is just after 2 o'clock in the afternoon there, and a massive international rescue effort is happening in Syria as well, searching for survivors as the death toll from the massive earthquake that hit there is climbing higher. Just within the past couple of hours, the number of dead from that earthquake that hit early yesterday morning topped 5,000 people. That includes nearly 3,400 in Turkey, about 1,600 in Syria, and at least 20,000 other people are hurt. Michelle McConkey is in the WRL Live Center with how nations around the world are now pledging their help. Michelle.
Many countries around the world are pledging help. Jeff, China is the latest country to come out and say they are going to be sending $5.9 million rescue and medical teams as well as emergency supplies. As you mentioned, this is another live look there in Turkey of the rescue and recovery mission as well as cleanup there. The United States said it would send 2 search and rescue units to Turkey. Pakistan also deploying 2 search and rescue teams there as well. Australia and New Zealand also committing funds for humanitarian assistance. That death toll number stands at more than 5,000 right now, but that number is expected to rise significantly in Syria, they say, because of the amount of families that are still trapped underneath that rubble.
The devastation is just stunning. Michelle, thank you. We talked with the U.S. ambassador to Turkey from 2000 to 2003, who now lives in the Triangle. Robert Pearson is currently Duke's Rethinking Diplomacy Program Fellow. While speaking with WRL, he said he's been trying to contact friends he has there, but hasn't heard back. He said it's going to take an immense amount of international help to assist these countries affected by this. Pearson and members of the American Turkish Association of North Carolina encourage people who want to get involved to do so.
Well, I think they should get involved to show support for these victims of the earthquake and the resulting difficulty in their lives.
Right now, the North Carolina chapter of the American Turkish Association says a money donation is most important. If you provide that to them, they'll direct it where needed. On WRL.com, search Turkey earthquake to find ways to help Turkey and resources to help Syria as well.
We have a live look for you right now at our nation's capital, where tonight President Joe Biden will deliver the State of the Union address. This will be President Biden's first address to a divided Congress. A White House official says the president will talk about major progress in the economy, including decades-low unemployment. He's also expected to say the country's global alliances are now stronger because of his administration's efforts.
Today, you can help plan what will be a new front door for the town of Clayton. The town's Gateway 42 project is looking at enhancing the area around the intersection of Highway 42 and US 70. WRL's Naya Harden joins us now with how you can weigh in on those plans. And Naya, the leaders are really looking for feedback on this.
They are. We're in the Gateway area now, and they want to do this right. That's what they're telling people, that this is going to be one of the most important routes to get people in and out of the area of Clayton. And one of the state's fastest growing towns, mind you, just 25 minutes away from Raleigh. Gateway 42 is a campaign that's 10 to 20 years in the plan. People who live and work in Clayton, they'll have a chance to talk about what they want to see in this area. They want to hear about residential and business growth. The town says it's important to get ahead on this early because they want to avoid problems in the future.
We really want to be able to try and plan for that growth. You know, understanding there will be a good bit of residential growth, but also plan for whatever non-residential growth may come as well. And thinking through, you know, trying to plan ahead so that we can mitigate any potential negative impacts that may come from the growth, such as traffic, environmental impacts, or other things.
Tonight's discussion is going to be at 6 o'clock. This is going to be at the Clayton Community Center on Amelia Church Road. And if you can't make it, there is a way to fill out a survey online. We've posted that information for you on the WRL News app. Naya Harden, WRL News in Clayton.
Republicans in the North Carolina Senate are expected to pass the controversial Parents' Bill of Rights when it comes before the full chamber today. The bill could require teachers to out some LGBTQ students to their parents. The bill passed a key committee last night. Critics say it poses dangers to LGBTQ students who don't live in accepting households. Supporters of the bill say students shouldn't keep secrets from their parents. The House and Senate plan to hold separate classified briefings this week on the suspected Chinese spy balloon shot down off the coast of South Carolina. Sources say those briefings are scheduled for Thursday. Meanwhile, House Republicans are considering whether to pass a symbolic resolution condemning China for sending the balloon across U.S. airspace. President Biden says he does not believe the takedown of the balloon damaged the relationship between the U.S. and China. Crews are continuing to work and collect the debris from the balloon.
Dozens of dogs are in need of new homes after being rescued from a backyard breeder in the Triangle. Freedom Ride Rescue says about 50 dogs in total were being housed in inhumane conditions at the breeder. The Raleigh-based rescue is now housing 9 of the dogs. The rest went to other rescues in North Carolina and Virginia. The rescue says the dogs had never lived inside and were covered in matted hair and suffered from health challenges, including heartworm and Lyme disease. 10 minutes after 6 right now on your Tuesday, another attack on a power grid, this time in Maryland. What authorities are saying about the suspected motive behind this plot?
Family and friends remember a murder victim in Franklin County. The questions they have about the investigation as two young men face charges in his death.
And a mild afternoon. As a matter of fact, we're going to string together a bunch of them until we hit Friday and Saturday. Some changes to our weekend forecast. I'll show you the timeline for rain and why it looks like Saturday could be wetter. It is 6:13. It's a gorgeous morning out there, but it is colder than it was yesterday. You might want your big, heavy coat. I was happy in my coat. We have 20s and low 30s in terms of temperatures across the area. It is nice and clear, though. So heading out the door again, I grabbed my warm winter coat, and I was happy for that. Temperatures around the Triangle are in the mid-30s, but we do have temperatures that are colder than that in some spots. So working out this morning, it definitely feels like February. But we warm up fast into the mid-50s at lunchtime, and we have a nice mild afternoon in our forecast with lots of sunshine and a high of 65. If you're exercising this evening, even at 6 o'clock, temperatures are still in the upper 50s. We're going to string together several more warm days, but we've moved the timeline for rain back into the weekend. I'll show you that coming up, Brian.
Elizabeth, 6:14 right now, just getting word of a crash in East Raleigh on New Hope Road, right around the I-87 interchange. It's at Commodity Parkway. Saw some delays on the sensors here a few minutes ago. Right now, though, it looks like traffic's flowing freely. I'll keep my eyes on that, let you know how it's developing. Also watching traffic in Durham this morning, live sensor update telling us that all of those major approaches into Durham are clear. Out of Raleigh on 40 westbound, no delays from Wade Avenue back toward 885, and out of Hillsboro, 85 northbound, all clear to the Durham freeway, Jeff.
Brian, thanks. The bond hearing for two teenagers charged with second-degree murder of Hamilton Woods has been continued to Friday. Gavin Miller and Dylan Piper each have bonds set at $5 million. A special prosecutor will now be working on this case after a request from the Woods family attorney. A large group of supporters showed up at Monday's hearing to support the family of the 19-year-old.
He was so family-oriented. He was so passionate about his friends being involved with family events. Hamilton, it just brought so much love to the community.
The family attorney has requested both a special prosecutor and that the SBI investigate instead of the Franklin County Sheriff's Office. The family has concerns about the connection of a suspect's family member to the court system. The district attorney tells WREL that woman has not worked for his office in 3 years. The family also points to a racist caption on a photo of the suspects. The sheriff's office says it is now investigating that photo, which references the KKK.
The FBI arrested two people they say tried to attack the power grid in Baltimore, Maryland. One suspect was found in Maryland. Agents tracked down the other suspect in Florida. One of them is a known neo-Nazi leader. Federal authorities believe the plot to attack the substations was racially motivated. If you didn't know, 61% of Baltimore residents are black. The FBI is still working on who attacked the substation in Moore County here in North Carolina in December. Investigators told WREL right now there's no evidence connecting the Maryland arrests to the power grid attack in North Carolina.
A portion of Highway 701 near the Johnston-Sampson County line has reopened this morning after a crash. A tractor trailer and another vehicle crashed near Harper House Road around 7 last night. At least one person was hurt. State Highway Patrol is working to figure out what caused the crash.
Pennsylvania's governor is working to calm people's nerves after an explosion at the scene of a train derailment just over the Ohio border. The controlled explosion yesterday in the town of East Palestine was designed to release toxic gas from a train car containing vinyl chloride. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro assured people who live near the state line that no air or water quality problems are detected in the area.
I know it was alarming to see the big plume of smoke and the fire, but I want to reassure Pennsylvanians that the process is proceeding as planned.
Shapiro is encouraging people who live within 1 mile of the derailment to evacuate and people within 2 miles to shelter in place. Ohio's governor also asked people who live near the site to leave. Federal investigators say Friday's derailment of 50 cars may have been caused by a broken axle.
A new satellite is now in orbit after a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket launch. This happened last night at Cape Canaveral. The rocket carried communications satellite up into space, and then that reusable rocket landed on a ship in the Atlantic Ocean. I tell you, when they come back down to Earth now and get reused, that's kind of more exciting than the takeoffs anymore. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center with our look before sunrise here on our Tuesday.
And you know, you can tell the days are starting to get a little bit longer. There is a little hint of daylight glow up there in Goldsboro, and it's just 6:18. And did you notice it's light longer in the evenings too? We really start to notice that in February. And of course, it's about a month until we go back to daylight saving time. So we're kicking along here. Goldsboro, Durham, Apex, Chapel Hill, all clear this morning. Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. The big thing is it's colder this morning than it was yesterday, but we are looking at some nice mild afternoons, mid-60s this afternoon, 70 on Wednesday, 72 Thursday. Thursday's high likely to be just a couple of degrees from the record high, and then 66 on Friday. We do have some big changes in our forecast for rain late in the week. I'm going to talk about that difference in just a second, but let's talk about what's happening here. We have a big dip in the jet stream. A dip in the jet stream starts to spin things counterclockwise. See how this rotation starts? And of course, low pressure systems rotate counterclockwise. So the deeper that dip is in the jet stream there, the stronger those storms are. And that's starting to crank up. You can see our front. You can see some of the rain across parts of the Midwest and the plains, and that will continue to slowly march eastward. And when I say slowly, that's the big change. Yesterday, it looked like we may see some rain late Thursday into very early Saturday, and then it zipped on out. This is starting to move more slowly, so we could see rain for a bigger chunk of the day on Saturday. So keep that in mind as you're making your plans. This is Thursday at 6 a.m. This front's really taking shape. There is going to be some severe weather with this, but mostly down to our south. We're not likely to see any of that here. 6 a.m. Thursday, we're dry. Late in the day, you can see maybe an isolated shower. We have just a small chance of rain in our forecast for Thursday. And then Friday morning at 7 a.m., as that front starts to move through, we're likely to see some showers. The front starts to move eastward and stalls, and we start to see waves riding along it. So it's a very wet afternoon and evening on Friday. And then watch this next wave coming in. That's Saturday at 6 a.m. And right now it looks like the rain is mainly in eastern North Carolina, but that still covers a good portion of our viewing area. And as close as it is to the Triangle and our western counties, you're going to want to really keep checking in with us to see, you know, how all this is going to time out for Saturday if you have outdoor plans. We have a level 2 risk for severe storms for tomorrow in the deep south, and then on Thursday when that front gets closer to us, it's down south toward Florida. So again, we're not looking at much of a chance for severe storms. Friday, an 80% chance, a 50% chance on Saturday, and then Sunday looks pretty dry for us. 47 degrees at 6:30 as the Super Bowl kicks off, and of course 65 in Glendale, Arizona, near Phoenix. They're going to have a nice Super Bowl there. After the rain moves out, our temperatures will start to cool. We're going to see cooler temperatures over the weekend, and then it warms back up on Monday, Brian.
6:21 right now. New information. Just getting reports of a crash over on the west side of Apex at Friendship Road at Old US 1. Also, just in the past couple of minutes, a crash reported in downtown Wendell on Wendell Boulevard at Cypress Street. So far, not seeing any delay showing up on the sensors there. And we're still tracking this crash on the east side of Raleigh at New Hope Road, right around the I-87 interchange, Commodity Parkway there at the ramp. Not seeing any delay showing up on these sensors, but I have seen some other sensor data in the past few minutes indicating there are at least some backups through there as they work to get that crash cleared. Reportedly a crash with injuries. Elsewhere around the Triangle, with the exception of our usual delays coming in now from Johnston County on 40 westbound around the Clayton Bypass, everything's moving along fairly well.
Brian, thanks. Car thieves stopped by a $29 piece of technology. The power of the device that helped a family track down its stolen vehicle.
And a driver barrels through a cemetery, taking down a dozen headstones. Reaction from the families as police search for the person who did this.
The Today Show is on the ground in Turkey, where the search for survivors after a massive earthquake is in its second day. Today airs right after this newscast at 7 on WREL.
This What's Trending report, sponsored by Rugg and Home.
The mom who has every reason to root for both teams in the Super Bowl is showing her support for her sons.
Brian Schrader here now with What's Trending.
Yeah, she's a winner either way. Donna Kelsey surprised her sons, Jason and Travis, on stage last night during the Super Bowl week kickoff show. They'll be playing against each other on Sunday, but they do not need to fight for mom's affection because she was wearing her custom half and half jersey, and she brought them both cookies and big hugs.
We're going to see how this cookie crumbles here. One of them is going to be a loser. One of them will be a Super Bowl champ. I don't know. And there was a push on social media for Donna Kelsey to flip the coin for the to do the coin toss for the toss for the Super Bowl.
She'd be perfect.
Right? Wouldn't it be great?
Yes.
I don't think it's gained any traction, but it was a nice idea. Yeah, it was a nice.
Well, everyone would be cheering for that mom. I mean, you know, two sons in the Super Bowl. That's historic.
She'll have to console one and congratulate the other. It'll be interesting.
She's mom. She knows how to do that.
Yes. Maybe you are more into the Super Bowl commercials. And one of the big ads this year, Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul reprising their roles from Breaking Bad. This is an ad for Popcorners, and it is full of callbacks to that show.
Actually, Jesse, it's just basic ingredients.
I mean, Walt and Jesse are back in this. Okay, I love Breaking Bad. This time, they're cooking up a batch of Popcorners.
Yeah.
I mean, even in the commercial, they're like, hey, you know, we never eat the supply. Okay, those who watch Breaking Bad will totally understand that line. It's going to be a hit.
It's a little healthier than what they were into in the show,
yeah,
I would say.
Profit margin maybe not as wide either. But trust me, you got to watch that show if you haven't yet. All right. Thanks, Brian. Speaking of Super Bowl commercials, this year you'll see a fun spot produced by the creative team here at WREL. All week we've been dropping hints during our 9 a.m. news on Fox 50.
You are in this super secret commercial for WREL. Can you tell us about it? Anything? Can you give me anything? What you got? Give me something. Give me something. Oh my goodness. A secret. All right.
Props to Ken for trying, but you know, even Wooly Bull can't talk about it. Turn on WREL's morning news on Fox 50 at 9 for the next clue. There are 5 days to go until Super Bowl 57. Pre-game coverage starts at 11 a.m. on Fox 50. Game time, 6:30.
Safety and security on school campuses. That is the topic of conversation for Wake County school leaders. And today we're going to hear from them. We're live at one school that went on a code red lockdown with how they're addressing the issue.